Sorry, meeting to order at 8:10 committee time. Let the record reflect, we have a quorum of the members present, Representative Salmon, Representative Ledoux, Co-Chair Olson, and Co-Chair Thomas. We have two bills before us today, and it'd be House Bill 229, reinstatement of native corporations, and House Bill 157, electric phone cooperatives and other entities. At this time, we'll bring up 229.
Paula Bull from Representative Foster's office. Mr. Chairman, members of committee, what you have before you is a fairly simple and routine piece of legislation. What happens is native corporations fail to file their $100 fee and their two-year report listing corporate officers. If they do not do that in the two-year period required, they are allowed a two-year grace period. Once that grace period is over, they are involuntarily dissolved and requires legislation to allow them to reinstate, and that is what this legislation does. The importance of allowing them to reinstate is even if they formed a new corporation, they would not have the assets granted to them under the Native Land Claims Act, and they would just be a corporation with no assets. And it's pretty simple, that's about it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Questions? I have one.
Okay.
If you form a new corporation, do you take the debts with you?
The debts, no. You would not have the debts, and you would not have the assets.
Okay.
But the shareholders would have the debts. Just like the shareholders would have the assets. It would have to be divided up evenly.
Representative Ledoux?
Why would the shareholders have the debts of the corporation?
Actually, I may have to refer to Alice Houston on that for the technical expertise, but I know that in terms of the assets at least, that that would be broken up and transferred to each member of the corporation and had assumed that it would be the same for the debts.
It would be, the same statutes would be followed as winding up any corporation if it's voluntarily or involuntarily dissolved.
It would be winding up business as the statutes allow for voluntary or involuntary dissolution.
We have your name?
Alice Houston.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? No other questions? Anybody in the audience want to testify? Nobody online for this one either, is there? Wishes of the committee?
I'll move HB 229 with individual recommendations and zero fiscal note.
Zero fiscal note, yep. Here are no objections. HB 229 is moved from committee, individual recommendations.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for your time.
We have three fetties. Back to order. Apologize for taking so long, but we did have a CSB and drafted. At this time, we'll call the sponsor up. John, your name and affiliation, who you look at. Oh, yeah, before, yeah, we need a...
Move to adopt 24LS0562/L, for draft of committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 157.
There are no objection. Draft is adopted. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Bittner. I'm staff to Representative Anderson. The representative wanted me to apologize for not being able to be here in person. He has another bill up in Senate Judiciary. You have before you a committee substitute to the sponsor substitute to House Bill 157. Basically, the changes we make in this committee substitute were to address some concerns as to the scope of the original bill. If you look on page 2, the only changes really are in subsections 8 and 9, lines 20 through 22. Subsection 8 is basically the exact same language that was in the original bill, which allows a electric cooperative to form a limited liability company organized for any lawful purpose. This was to address a a problem that they had in the current statutes. Limited liability companies weren't really common in Alaska when these original statutes were written, and so this just sort of brings the statutes up to current needs. Subsection 9 gives the an electric co-op the specific authority to sell fuel not needed to generate electricity. This is to address the specific needs that the electric co-ops came to us with. The reason we moved these subsections under AS 1025-020 is because everything we do here only applies to electric cooperatives. There were some concerns about including telephones in here. They really, as far as we know, aren't interested in selling fuel. Whereas an electric utility already buys bulk fuel for their own personal use, and it would make more sense for them to expand into the private aspect of it. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. We also have several members of various co-ops throughout the state here who can answer the more technical electric co-op questions.
Representative Salmon?
What does the CS do other than 8 and 9, and it eliminates 10, 11, 12, 13, 14?
Through the chair, no, sir. The current statutes, it's my understanding
I'm looking at page 2, Mr. Chairman, on the original bill. In the CS, we don't have 10 to 14.
Correct. Through the chair, that is correct. The reason for that is that we're actually in the CS dealing with a different section than we are in the original bill. This section is 1025-020, and I believe the original bill was in 1025-010. The reason for this was because 010 applies to both electric and telephone utilities, whereas this particular section deals only with electric utilities.
One more question, Mr. Chairman. Does this mean that the electric company could sell fuel to...
Through the chair, Representative Salmon, that is our understanding.
Okay.
Representative Ledoux?
I'd like to ask for a brief at ease. I'd just like to see the actual statutes that we're looking at.